I just want to give the Lord the praise and the glory. I was beginning to question whether I should be speaking because of what John shared. And then towards the tail end of what you shared, John, confirmed that what the Lord showed me was correct. The word suffered. So it showed me because I was sitting at my couch where I sit and do my studying a few days ago, struggling with something, and I looked over at my bookcase and this is what I saw. Enemy access denied. And I knew immediately that that was what I needed because I knew the enemy had some access and I needed to know how to shut it down. So I've read this book before. This was not something I read it, I want to say maybe 2 months ago. But apparently I didn't get what I was supposed to get the first time. So I picked it up and began to go through it, and this time it spoke very loudly because I believe now I'm ready to shut those doors that has given the enemy permission. So I didn't realize that I was speaking until yesterday afternoon. So I picked it up and I said, okay, Lord, where are we going? And that sure enough is the chapter that he brought me to was on suffering. So I'll give you the scripture that this chapter is based on. It's not a scripture that you probably would put up on your wall.
Well, in frames.
Not exactly one that goes, yippee. Okay, it's in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Now, John Bevere wrote this book under the direction of the Lord. The title that he started this chapter is, A Christian Who Is Not Prepared to Suffer is Comparable to a Soldier Who Goes to War Unarmed. Well, immediately your interest gets piqued as suffering? Really? Really, Lord? Well, the next scripture that teaches us what is being said here is in the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, verse 8. Though he, Jesus, was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Amen. So as I went through this book, it became apparent to me the extreme importance of obedience. It was apparent that I had not taken it as seriously as I should have. Or could have, shall I say. I'm not sure which. I didn't grasp the full significance of obedience and what it meant and what it did. This came home to me just in a little snippet on Friday. I was driving out to Belchertown to pick up a food co-op order that I'd ordered from a lady. It's more than food, it's a lot more of that. And as I'm driving out, I'm thinking, okay, on my way back, which errand will I do? And it came to me that I needed to go to Ocean State, pick up some gloves, because Peggy had shared with me that the rescue mission needed gloves. And as I received that witness to me, yep, that's what I need to do. So I settled that, but as I allowed that to come in, what next came in is, now let me see, which day am I going to go drop those gloves off? And immediately, I got this real conviction down deep in my spirit. You will take it today.
Wow.
So I started to allow that to come up to the surface. And the Lord showed me that I was using my will to determine when I would make the delivery, not him. Mm-hmm. And the pressure, the conviction inside was very intense. And I just allowed it to do. And this time, which in past times I probably had not allowed that as strong, I said, okay, Lord, I will take them today. I didn't question why. I don't know why it had to be Friday. Not my decision. So that's what I did. I drove out to Belchertown, picked up the order, came back, stopped by the house. I needed to feed my husband. And drove down to the rescue mission, just dropped them off. That's it. But it was amazing to me that there was a new freedom in that obedience. And I just kept pursuing through it, because what I have learned from studying this book has brought me to that level. Maturity is found through our obedience to God in the midst of suffering. So how did I suffer? I had an agenda that I was going to do. I had a list of things that I was going to take care of when I got home, and I had to let go of that list and let go of the self that wanted to do what it wanted to do.
Yep.
That was suffering. Doesn't sound it, but when you're a person like me that had a very strong addiction to doing, that was suffering. So I had to let go of my will to do what I wanted, to do what God wanted. This kind of suffering is caused when we resist the will of man to submit to the will of God. So does he confirm this throughout his word? Absolutely. Whether you have died to your desires or not, you will eventually find yourself in a position where you will have to choose between comfort, advantage, security, self-esteem, pleasure, or the will of God. So there are several scriptures that do confirm the Lord's testing. In Psalm 11, verse 5, we find the words, "The Lord tests the righteous." So right away we know that this is part of God's plan. And again in Psalm 17, verse 3, "You have tested my heart. You have tried me and have found nothing." This is David speaking. "I have purposed that my mouth shall not transgress." Now in the book, he is using the test that Abraham went through as a means to confirm this. And it's interesting, I've read this before, but this time when I read about how Abraham took his son up, the words that jumped right off that verse were, "God tested Abraham." Funny, those words never reverberated inside me, but this time they did. Oh, So that was a test that God was allowing for Abraham. When Abraham got to the top, and the history concludes that it was Mount Moriah, which, by the way, I was on with Kim. The Muslim temple is on the top of Mount Moriah in Israel. It's it's an amazing, amazing feeling to stand there and realize where you were. But when Abraham got up there, we know that Abraham didn't suddenly say, "Well, God, I got him up to the top of the mountain. We're here. I did what you asked. I got him up here. But I think it's time to go home because this is it." No, Abraham goes through with the test. And in the process of the test, he learned something about God that he never knew before. Because there appears the ram in the thicket, and Abraham says, "The Lord will provide." So the revelation came into Abraham because he took the test to the limit. He knew a new facet of God's nature. He now knew without a doubt that God will provide, because he was willing to walk that test to its completion. Had he not completed, had he gotten up to the top of the mountain and thought, "Okay, I think I've done my thing," he would never have known that. But because he chose to complete the test, God gave him the revelation as a, shall I call it, reward for completing. Had Abraham started to complain, "Lord, this test is too hard. Lord, I don't like climbing this mountain. Lord, I'm not going to give up my son. You gave him to me." That would have been looked at as a form of rebellion. Wow. It's saying to God, "Your way is not the right way. Your way is not the one. It's my way." But Abraham did not do that. Then further, as we look into God's word, we see that when the Israelites were in the desert, many times God used the words testing when they complained. There was the time when God had the bread fall from heaven, and God said to Moses, "And the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day that I may test them." Funny, those words had not jumped out to me before, but they did. Consistently throughout this time in their desert, every time God tested them with what he did, they rebelled. As a result, the Israelites never left the place of testing. They stayed there. The testing went on and on, round and round and round in the test. A trip that was supposed to take 11 days took 40 years, and they never completed their test. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 and through 10, the Holy Spirit warns us to listen to him, to be careful to hear his voice today, and not let our hearts become set against him, as the people of Israel did. They steeled themselves against his love and complained against him in the desert while he was testing them. Thank you, God, that this is in your word for us to learn and to grow and to realize what is required of us. Again, God's word confirms the suffering in the book of Acts, chapter 14, verse 22. We must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. Well, that's not exactly a scripture that makes us jump up and down either. Many tribulations? Well, a person who's looking for that happy, joyous, good life, which God does give us, would look at that scripture and, no way, and wonder how in the heck, is that supposed to strengthen me? But it does. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4 through 5, Paul tells the Thessalonians, we are happy to tell other churches about your patience and complete faith in God, in spite of all the crushing troubles and hardships you are going through. This is only one example of the fair, just way God does things. Now get this. For he is using your suffering to make you ready for his kingdom.
Amen.
Ouch. Yeah.
Ouch, but amen.
Yeah, that's an ouch.
Yeah.
He's using your suffering to make you ready for his kingdom. And again in Romans 8, we're told, we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Now let's make one thing abundantly clear. By suffering, it doesn't mean I have a disease and I have to suffer through this awful disease and that's my suffering that I give to God. That's not what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. It's also not talking about finances. Whoa, I'm really strapped financially. This is real suffering. This is not the suffering that's being taught in this chapter. The suffering that's being taught is giving up your will, your purposes, your plans, your who you are to allow God's purpose, God's will, and him to come through you. In 1 Peter 4, chapter 4, verse 12 and 13, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. John Bevere makes the comment in here, those who rejoice in the furnace come out of the furnace.
Amen.
Those who murmur in the wilderness die in the wilderness. You can't have it any more blunt than that. So the God's word assures us that there will be afflictions for the righteous, but in Psalm 34:19 we have this marvelous promise from our Lord, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. And again in 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, this is followed by a chapter that I'll give you a few tidbits about, because when you read this, it's like, whoa, this is really hard on my soul. And the following chapter is called The Blessings of Obedience. Through our obedience, not only do we develop spiritual maturity, but our faith begins to grow.
Amen.
God has given us the seed of faith. So how are we going to get that faith to grow? We need the testing. We need that testing for that faith to come up and grow in us and through us, that we come to a new place. We see more of God. We see more of who He is. We see more of His purposes for us. This one sentence in here convicted me this week, which I realized I had this weakness. How often do many people begin a project or assignment never to finish it because they lost interest or because the labor and suffering became too intense? I suddenly realized that I had been a person who started many things and didn't finish. So I made a list. I said, okay, God, I see this one, this one, this one, this one. Please show me when I'm to do this and finish it. When am I to do this one and finish? I've already done a few. And I realized that many times in those things, which many of them are things in the natural, I just did not complete them. It either became too intense or I was looking for something easy. And God was showing me, this is not going to be easy. I said, okay. So I'm working my way through that. Some of it's spiritual and some of it's in the natural. But I realized my soul needed to walk this out, to get that truth in me. So we grow spiritually in the grace of God because God gives us grace. He's a very gracious God. Whenever we're being tested and He gives us that assignment or whatever it is, the grace is there to complete it. And we grow through obedience. In our obedience, we are also developing humility. Because in order to obey, we need to submit ourselves to God. So we get the blessing of humility, the blessing of faith growing, the blessing of a new revelation of God, who He is, and who He is to me. Now, I personally have something that God has given to me as I am willing to walk this out. And as we allow our faith to grow, that faith grows deeper and stronger in us, that now we are able to grasp more promises from God, perhaps a much more difficult promise for us, because we've allowed that faith in us to grow to a level, well, now I'm ready for that one. And we can go through it. Because we were willing to let that faith grow through the places that God showed us until He brings us to the point where this one's going to be harder. That's okay. My faith has reached that point. Do we get rewards for our obedience? Yes, we do. God promises that in His word. This is a promise that we certainly can hold on to. It's in 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. So we do get a reward if, as we appear before that judgment seat, we have obeyed. In that obedience, we receive the reward, whatever that God chooses, that reward, we are assured of a reward. So let me close with four responses we have when that door comes knocking and you have been given the choice. Something's at your door, and now you're given a choice by God. But we all know we can blatantly disobey.
Amen.
God gives us that privilege. We have free will. And we have the scriptures and the word that what happens to those that rebel. They rebel against the words of God and they despised his counsel. They're in darkness. The way of disobedience is hard. That's number two. And that's when you fall into reasoning. I have to admit that one has been a problem for me, that I was reasoning myself out of many areas until the Holy Spirit convicted and said, that's reasoning. So you can reason yourself into disobedience. Thinking that you're right, but it's your reasoning that you have exalted
Amen.
Above God.
Amen.
Inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ. Number three, we can have obedience with a bad attitude. I'll do it, but.
Mm-hmm.
But what does God's word teach us? Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. I don't know about you, but that sounds like an amazing promise. So number four is obedience with a willing heart. And I'll give you this scripture to show you the blessing to go with number four, obedience with a willing heart. It's in Job chapter 36, verse 11. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. That is an amazing promise for the person with obedience with a willing heart. And I guess from my own perspective, those areas that I found that the willingness was not what God wanted, I find I go back to him, and I'm very honest. I'm finding, Lord, that my heart's not willing in that area. So I yield it to him, say, make me willing. I don't know what to do with it. I can't fix it. More than likely, it's pride. It's probably that ugly, as I went through this, the Lord revealed areas of pride still lurking around in here that were hindering me. So in order to deal with that pride, humble myself, okay, Lord, make me willing. Something is holding me back from doing that with a willing heart. It's a struggle. And the most amazing thing about God is He does it. He does it his way.
Amen.
I will say that. It's,
yep.
But you are giving him permission when you say that. You're giving him permission, Lord. Amen. You make me have that willing heart that you desire. And I find at that point usually that the testing becomes a little more difficult, shall I say? But that's okay. It's what God, it's God's way.
Amen.